This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Monday. We're doing our best to make Mondays great. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy in for Bob Rose. Coming up on 8:07, time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Well, the answer is always yes. Now, we may be missing Bob today, but you never have to miss the Bob Rose Show. That's right, the Bob Rose podcast out there. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you subscribe, and you can make sure that you don't miss a thing. Some of our headlines include a little activity in... Well, two places of interest, I think, the White House and Mar-a-Lago. What do they have in common? Well, they're where Donald Trump lives. First off, Secret Service got a little tip a couple of days ago about a gentleman traveling from Indiana, going to be heading to Washington, D.C., who might have had suicidal tendencies. Now, again, the interesting part of that is when you have suicidal tendencies and you're going towards the White House in D.C., what are your intentions? I mean, is it suicide by Secret Service? We've all heard of suicide by cop. Well, they did find the individual's car about a mile or so away from the White House, and then they spotted the individual. When approached, he pulled out a weapon. Yeah, you know how it goes from there. Now, no report on his condition, but at least they got a good tip. I mean, that was obviously helpful and made a difference. I mean... I don't believe the president was in the building at the time, but anyway. Then you have the incident over Mar-a-Lago. Now, when the president is there or anywhere near there, that becomes temporary restricted airspace. And if you are a pilot, I don't care what you fly, whether in the case of whether it's a little Cessna or, you know, commercial jet, whatever the case may be, you understand the concept of restricted airspace. It's pretty simple. It's airspace that is restricted. See how simple that was? Here's the crazy thing. When I saw the number of how many flights since January 20th have been averted, or diverted, I guess is really the word, because what happens, they scramble these jets. They come say hello to you. They might, you know, put a couple of flares out there to get your attention, and then you are escorted away from restricted airspace. So since January 20th, since he's been the president, NORAD has responded to over 20 what they call tracks of interest, that flight plan, that track that takes you over restricted airspace there. Over 20 since January 20th. Again, I have trouble thinking that they don't know any better because they're pilots. They had to get their pilot's license. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. No matter how small a plane you're flying, you understand restricted airspace and the importance of that. Or you should. I have to think people are just sightseeing. I mean, I don't think that any of these, and we've not heard that they are, were intentional to do anything to Mar-a-Lago. But you got your pilot's license, you got your friend, your business partner, your family. You want to show off a little bit. You know, hey, let's fly over Mar-a-Lago and see where the president lives. It's like, If that was your intention, that was not smart. You've got a lot of rules in different places around the country. Well, Disney property has been like restricted airspace for a long time, unless they've changed it. Started off as a temporary thing and kind of just stuck. One that we had in the St. Louis area, if you've ever seen pictures of downtown St. Louis, you see the stadium and you see the Gateway Arch. That 630-foot stainless steel arch that you see right there commemorating the gateway to the West. And it's big, and people in little planes always thought it would be cool to fly under it, between the legs. Well, you're not supposed to do that. People do it anyway. They get caught. They get arrested. They get hauled off. You can lose your license, all those kind of things. But I don't know. You would hope that if somebody is smart enough to, do the work, do the study, get your pilot's license, that you would understand and obey the rules. A couple of stories caught my attention that in the big scheme of things aren't that serious, like politics or, buzzing Mar-a-Lago and having F-16s come haul you off. But one that is making some headlines in the sports world and then kind of getting spread, and you're going to see this on social media, so if people ask you about this today, you'll know what they were talking about. LeBron James. Now, the phrase flop is when you act like you got hit or nudged or run into, and typically speaking here, we're talking about basketball. You've seen it. I mean, when I was in, up through eighth grade, we had a guy that I went to school with. He was a couple of years ahead of me. He was the king of the flop. He would throw his body across the court and slide like he had just gotten nailed, and they never barely touched him. LeBron is being, as the headline reads, savagely mocked after an atrocious flop. Lakers 111-101 loss to the Celtics in Boston. Game was not really as close, according to some, as the score might have suggested. Dylan Gwynn was the author of an article on this. 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, LeBron was at best brushed in the midsection by Jason Tatum, who was streaking by. So again, brushed in the midsection at best. Man, LeBron grabs his chin. He throws his body back, throws himself on the court, and you're like, you've got to be kidding. LeBron, now look, I will acknowledge on occasion LeBron James will do some good charity events or whatever. Is he a good player? Yes. Game's all-time leading scorer. One of the greatest players in NBA history. I get all that. But when he pulls this kind of stuff, to me, you tarnish your image as a quality player. You have to fake injury for whatever reason to try to change the course of the game. I'm sorry. You're a loser in my book. And then he's also, of course, been very outspoken politically against Donald Trump. So he loses, fan points for me in that regard. But you've got to watch the video. I mean, again, it's all over the place. Just Google LeBron flop today. And they've got several camera angles on it. It is worth watching. It's 8:13 of the Bob Rose Show. Let's open up those Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. We're talking about flying, and a few minutes ago on the whole flights over Mar-a-Lago. You can't do that near the White House as well. Let's see what Mike has to say about it this morning. Good morning. You're on the Bob Rose Show.
Hey, let me talk about LeBron first. You must have been watching professional soccer. But do you think all of those injuries in the fourth quarter in football are actually injuries or free timeouts? But anyway.
Yeah. Back, you're right.
Getting back to it, not all the planes have, Google Maps in it.
Right.
And if you're flying, you're usually flying from some other part of the country, you may not know that little area over Orlando
sure
stretches out that far.
Okay.
Or you might not know that when you're flying down the Gulf that you're crossing into MacDill's, because it doesn't pop up on the maps. You came from Nebraska. You don't know where all the nuances that we know.
Gotcha.
I've never been escorted down.
Okay.
Because I never fly anywhere. I stay here when I fly. So I know where not to go.
Exactly.
But, yeah, you're saying that these guys would have to memorize all the no-fly zones in the country because they traveled somewhere.
Right.
They just, when they make Google Maps in the planes mandatory and they update it,
right,
then there's no excuse.
I'll grant you that, Mike. And maybe I'm being a little harsh. I guess just when you think about it being 20 times just since January 20th, I think that they probably have no ill intent towards the president or his family. I think it's, you know, a little showing off, want to go see it themselves, whatever the case may be. But you're right. You know, equipment is different on every plane. And so, yeah, I will grant you that. And I certainly appreciate your insight on that. Hey, we are coming up on 8:15. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy sitting in for Bob Rose. And, again, a lot to talk about this morning. And, man, this morning is flying by. Even though we lost an hour of sleep yesterday, is that bugging you a little bit? Is that affecting you? Does this dark? I like it this way because it's lighter later in the day, but that's just me. We've all kind of got our own thing on that, but be careful. It is dark. You may feel sluggish and roads are wet, so let's make it a safe drive. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. 97.3 The Sky.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy in for Bob Rose, trying to make Mondays great. Coming up on 8:21, a 97.3 The Sky time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, we're hitting the headlines, hitting a lot of things that are going on in the world today. Mentioned we got some great guests coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. I'm actually going to be calling this segment Stupid Things That People Say. I could say Stupid Things That Stupid People Say, but that, you know, we're not supposed to call people names, right? Yeah, that'll be part of it as well. You know, from time to time, we'll kind of throw out, just for reference point, things that have happened on our day in history. And a couple that kind of struck me today, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that premiered on the WB. And I admit, I love sci-fi. I like the scary stuff. I've got nothing against campy, you know. I mean, I'm on the Bob Rose Show. Buffy the Vampire Slayer premiered on the WB on this date. What do you think? You got it in your head? 1997. Do the math on that, friends. How many years ago that was. And one was a little sad. At many levels. Andy Gibb passed away on this date in 1988. He was only 30. And what was really sad about that, well, a couple of things. One is the losses of the Gibb brothers. It is hard to imagine that Barry, who is the oldest, is the only one left. That's got to be surreal for him. You know, he had the twins, which were a little younger than him, and they both passed away from illness. But with Andy, he was kind of like a mini me to Barry. They looked a lot alike. They sounded a lot alike. He was kind of, you know, the twins kind of had each other, and Barry kind of really, you know, took Andy under his wing as the baby brother, that kind of thing. And what's sad about it is, him being the youngest and coming up behind the Bee Gees, he probably had a little bit different path. It was probably a little easier in some ways, but then there's also temptations that come along with that lifestyle. And he made some bad decisions. He had drug issues years before this, and that's what's sad. We do things to our body that don't affect us necessarily right now, but he died because of the damage that had been done to his heart years earlier with the drug abuse. And so sometimes people think, oh, well, you know, it's a phase you go through, whatever the case may be, it'll be fine. And that was not the case with Andy Gibb. And I still love his music. I mean, I love all the stuff that the Gibbs did. And so, yeah, kind of a sad day in that regard that it was 1988. But just think about how long ago that was. So I mentioned this segment, I'm calling it Stupid Things That People Say or Do. One of them is good old Sonny Hostin, you know, from The View. She continually, along with Joy Behar, and all of them pretty much provide us a stupidity buffet of things that they say. This goes back to the speech the other night. Remember Al Green stood up, waved his cane, yelling at the president. He gets hauled out. He gets censured, as he should have. He says that they don't know how to fight and be part of an opposition party. Representative Green gave them the example. The Democrats are not meeting the moment. It's very clear Medicaid is on the table. Well, no, it's not. That's a lie. It's very clear Social Security is on the table. No, Sonny, it's not. That's a lie. It's very clear that people are going to die. The baby boomers, the civil rights generation, they knew what they had to do. They were willing to fight and die for their rights. This generation of Congress, they are not meeting the moment. This is an existential crisis. She literally is saying Democrat lawmakers must be willing to fight and die. What's wrong with you? I know you can't. That's a rhetorical question. The show's over 10. We'd never get all the answers. Anna Navarro was there, though, said, I like civility in Congress. I think when you're in Congress, it's not the WWE wrestling match. Exactly. You know, we're not the House of Commons. We're the U.S. Capitol. They like to yell and scream and throw shoes and throw things at each other. That's okay. That is not what we do here in America. And so, you know, it's such an irony. And I brought this up afterwards when Bob and I were talking about this. They're having just this ruckus. You know, they're sitting on their hands. They won't stand for anybody, even if it's a kid who's surviving cancer. They're being total jerks. They're praising Al Green for standing up and yelling at the president and waving his cane. But where were they, and what was their view back when Congressman Joe Wilson, literally all he said during a speech from Barack Obama, was giving his State of the Union, all he said was, liar. That's all he said. One single word. And the Democrats came unglued about his behavior in front of the president in the halls of Congress. Unglued. They were ready to tar and feather him and run him out of town because he dared speak against the great Obama with one single word. Liar. Well, he was right. The president was a liar. He was lying at the time. But yet, here, Sonny wants, you know, people to be willing to die in Congress. She's a... That's a little extreme, Sonny. I've said, and we joke many times, it's like, between her, she was misnamed, Joy Behar, nothing joyful about her. Joy Reid, glad she's off the tube now. I'm sure somebody will bring her back at some point, but glad she's gone. Not very sunny or joyful people. Now, in connected to that as well, I liked the fact the president was calling the Democrats out on multiple occasions. He would point them at them and say, you. And he was making sure that they knew that he was talking about him. Well, now you've got good old Jamie Raskin from Maryland saying the president should be censured for racial slurs because he referred to Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas. Again, this is the woman who claimed to be Native American, who has had it on her titles, badges. You know, you go to look at websites, you look at what, you know, position she's held. She's the first female this, the first Native American this. And when she actually took the time to do a little DNA work, you realize that she has even less Native American blood than the average American would expect to have. But somehow Trump is in the wrong for calling her, to her face, Pocahontas. I kind of liked it. But, you know, that's just me. Just my opinion. Got some more stupidity coming up because this segment's out of time, but there is another one. Another person who is... Well, just was named wrong. You've heard of Angel Reese from the WNBA, the ladies' basketball, you know, and how she has treated Caitlin Clark in the past, being very racially motivated, I think. She was kind of leading some stupidity. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. It is the Bob Rose Show. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Well, good Monday morning to you. It's the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky. Greg Cassidy in for Bob. We are trying to make Mondays great, despite maybe you're having a little sluggish Monday, the first Monday back after time change. And yes, a little darker, although, you know, It's light now, but the roads are wet. We are getting some rain, so be extra careful. I think that rain's going to be kind of hanging around pretty much through the entire show this morning, but we'll turn into just a blustery, as they like to use that word, blustery day. Hopefully that'll dry things out a little bit, but make it safe. Make sure you got your lights on and make it a safe drive. Time check. As I mentioned, we're now at 8:36, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We were talking about some stupid things that people say. We're talking about Sunny Hostin, how she says people in Congress need to be willing to fight and die. I mean, really? Sunny, you've got a cushy TV job, but you want people who are elected to represent us to fight and die on the nation's capital. Not too bright. Then you got that rascal and Raskin, Jamie Raskin, wants the president to be censured because he called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. I tend to call her Pocahontas because she's a fake Pocahontas because she's not really Native American. Yeah, but I mean, nobody called her out from the left when they realized that when she finally did her DNA test that she probably has less indigenous people's bloodline than the average American does. But her grandma had high cheekbones, and that's all you really need to know. And then you've got people who don't have a bit of common sense sometimes, don't have a leg to stand on when they're making their point, and yet they try to be demanding of others. I'm talking about another person, much like Joy Reid, Joy Behar, Sunny Hostin, who is totally misnamed. I'm talking about Angel Reese. You probably, if you don't follow the WNBA, women's basketball, you probably only heard about her recently when Caitlin Clark, who is the new sensation of the WNBA. She is sharp. She's funny. She kicks butt. She's been breaking records right and left. Now, she is a white woman. A woman. I almost said chick. She's a white chick. She is of the lighter complexion than Angel Reese. And it seemed like, for whatever reason, every time Angel opened her mouth, she had to make it a racial thing. And like she's asking, you know, why is Caitlin getting all this attention? Why is she getting all the jerseys? Why is she getting all the headlines? Well, I don't know, Angel. Do you think maybe because she's breaking records right and left, bringing attention to the WNBA that nobody has given a care about for years, is suddenly now watching? You should be thanking her that she is there to play, not trying to give her a hard time, not having people bump into her, that sort of thing. Anyway, I guess the gals of the WNBA, they got a new contract coming up, and they want more money. They've got their demands, the whole bit. And so Angel Reese, she's on a show the other day, on a podcast, and she says, if y'all don't give us what we want, we sitting out. If y'all don't give us what we want, we sitting out. Okay, so basically threatening a strike. Now, usually, if you are in some particular business, maybe, let's say you're an automaker. You work for one of the big three, and you've got some contractual things that you want in your next contract. And you say, hey, look, if we don't get what we want, we're going to quit building cars. Now, that will affect a lot of folks. That affects the people who drive, who deliver the cars. It affects the chain of all the parts coming to the plant. It affects businesses like restaurants and retail around a plant, where if those folks aren't going to work, they're not spending money. It means the dealerships aren't getting new cars, and of course, it affects a lot of folks. Okay, I get that. Sometimes when you're in a certain position, you've got you've got what it takes to play hardball. So let's analyze the WNBA for a minute here. It was reported, apparently, at the when some numbers came out back in October, that the NBA is who subsidizes women's pro basketball. A lot of folks maybe have known that. But did you know that they've lost between $40 and $50 million supporting the WNBA? Lost between 40 and 50. It has never earned a profit. The WNBA, which was invested in, helped start by the NBA, in 1996, they helped found it, has not earned a profit ever. The ratings are only as good as they are because of Caitlin Clark. I mean, when she came on the scene, and again, she's breaking records, she's getting attention, she's in all the headlines, she's on all the sports shows, and then you've got people like Angel Reese trying to be critical of her. Why is she getting all the attention? Well, if she were African-American, Angel would not have a problem with it, but she's not. And it's amazing how some people misnamed come off really racist sometimes. But the fact that they've never made a profit, this is, if you remember, the women's soccer team tried this. Again, nobody watches it. Nobody cares. It doesn't make money. But we want to make what the men make because we're doing the job. Some jobs like sports are not, you know, just given a certain number because you have the job. There's a minimum starting salary with most sports. That's true. But if there's not profit being made, if people aren't watching, if they're not buying tickets, I don't, that arrogance just drives me nuts. It's like, who do you think you are? You think you're so special that just because you think you're special, you need to make a few more million dollars a year when nobody's watching, nobody's buying tickets, and the company that you work for is losing money because people don't care? The Washington Post reported that they've lost an average of $10 million or more every year since its inception. Now, let's compare that to the NBA. Okay, WNBA loses an average $10 million or more every year since 1996. The NBA, which people do watch, which people do buy tickets for, earns about, in that same year, $10 billion with a B. Again, WNBA losing $10 million, NBA making $10 billion. This is the contrast of who's watching, who's buying tickets. And good old Angel out there, we sitting out if we don't get what we want. Hey, I'm like, sure, more power to you, sister. Have a seat. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching. Nobody's buying tickets. Take your arrogance and your ball and go home. Go play in your driveway or something. It's just one of those things that has always gotten under my skin. And I don't. And the thing is, a lot of times, and it may be the case, we'll be here, the squeaky wheel wins. And I just think that's wrong because so many times the squeaky wheel is wrong. And that is the case with this, with the WNBA. You're making good livings. You're making very good money. You've got your contracts. You got your jerseys. You got all racist, you know, when Caitlin comes along and you're a total jerk to her. And now you're being basically a total jerk to the league that supports you and the public with your attitude and your arrogance. So I hope they don't get it. I hope they go on strike. I don't care. I don't watch it. I think Caitlin Clark's pretty awesome. I think she's funny. I think she's got a great personality. She knows how to play basketball. But for the rest of you with this attitude of we sitting out, feel free. There's the bench. Make yourself at home. Just my opinion. It's worth exactly what you paid for it. Hey, but one thing that is free is the podcast. Yeah, you can listen to the Bob Rose Show in case you miss a show. You can find out what we're ranting about, what's going on in the world, or some of the great guests that are going to be on the show in the next hour. Get it wherever you get your podcast, and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. 845, you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Well, there's the music. Yes, I know what that means. It means that it's another segment of the Bob Rose Show, 97.3 The Sky. Greg Cassidy sitting in for the, he's not really vacationing, but Bob Rose, he actually went to Tampa over the weekend to watch a little baseball. Hopefully that went well yesterday, and driving back today in all of this messy rain. Been talking about the rain all morning long, and it's going to be with us throughout the morning show. Should be clearing out a little bit later, then it's going to be kind of a blustery day. But as you're getting out this morning, make sure it is a safe one. Hey, looking forward to some guests coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. There's an event coming up the Gator Gobblers Banquet. Now, if you are not familiar with them and the group and what they do, well, you're going to find out. And Michelle Pickett is in, as well as Mark Herm, a couple of longtime friends, looking forward to seeing them. And then a little bit later on, a little after 9:30, going to have our Florida Congressman Ryan Chamberlain in studio. A lot of discussion in Tallahassee about our taxes. Anytime you talk about taxes, people's like, wait a minute. People's eyes open wide. Hair gets standing up at the back of their neck. What? More taxes? Less taxes? What's going on? We want to know. Well, you will find out. We will ask him about that, and certainly looking forward to it. Hey, one event that is coming up, I want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Gainesville Harley-Davidson, sponsoring this year's 27th annual Bob Rose Golf Scramble. Yeah, Bob was about seven when this thing was named after him. But it's coming up Friday, April 4th. Now, you may have heard that it is sold out, and for that, we thank you so much. It is an amazing event. All the support, all the work that ARC does for our developmentally disabled in Alachua County. And always a fantastic day. Weather is, man, we've really been fortunate, too, with the weather on that. Now, you're saying to yourself, okay, Greg, it's going to be a great event. It's Friday, April 4th. But isn't it sold out? Well, yes, it is. But there's also and always is extra opportunity for you if you'd like to volunteer that day. Then you get a chance to be there and be a part of the fun. You're going to get fed before and after, all the fun in between. And if you'd like to find out more, give our buddy Mark Johnson a call. Here's his phone number. It's 352 number, so it's easy to remember. But it's 246-3516. 246-3516. Talk to Mark Johnson. Tell him, hey, I don't get to play, but I want to help out. It's for a great cause, and that's kind of one way that you can be part of the Bob Rose Golf Scramble. That's going to sneak up. Man, all these events, there's so many going on. I mean, that's Friday, April the 4th. You're going to be hearing about one again at the next hour about that's going on. We've got Soldiers Freedom. We'll be telling you more about all these because we don't want you to kind of miss out on any of them. Remember what a big deal it was a few years ago when you dealt with Hillary? She had this little tendency about, I don't know, deleting things, you know? Emails, texts, that sort of thing. They just kind of, I don't know, magically disappeared. Thousands of them. Well, an area that's kind of getting a little controversy right now is Karen Bass. Now, again, a name that you're going, okay, why do I know that name? Well, she's the mayor of L.A. And if you remember, she was out of town. She was actually in Ghana, some awards thing going on, when the whole the fires broke out in L.A., when that was really a big deal. And she did come back, and, you know, she's been controversial, to say the least. But, you know, we were told, hey, look, she is in touch with everyone. She knows what's going on. She's, you know, handling it from her perspective as the mayor of L.A. Well, you know, the L.A. Times trying to kind of figure out, okay, well, what were those conversations? What was said? How in control was the mayor of L.A.? How in tune was she to what's going on? And one of the ways they will do that is look at your text messages. If they can find them. Now, to be fair, Mayor Karen Bass did not delete her texts between her cell phone and folks in L.A. Now, she did not delete them. Though she was smarter than that. She had her phone set to not save text messages. Excuse me? You're the mayor of L.A., an elected official. You know that everything you say, everything you do, is watched, listened to, read. It's kind of part of the gig. You know, transparency, that whole kind of thing. But the fact that she has her phone set to not save text messages, I don't know, is that a little suspect? Now, we're told by her folks, there's no requirement that a city official or employee save text messages, even though the city's own document retention policies show that if you've got a document, you've got to keep it for 2 years. Okay. I realize that we are in a world of technology here, folks. And you're supposed to be an intelligent person. You've run for a pretty high office in a pretty big state. You should probably know that, okay, you're having to keep all your documents for 2 years. Maybe it's also important that your texts, which are a electronic slash digital component of a document, don't you think those are important too? Why would you have your phone set to delete them automatically, to not save them? I just think that's, at best scenario, it's tacky, okay? At best. Anything more suspect than that really is kind of like, what are you thinking? I mean, you're the mayor of L.A. You don't think that your texts are important enough to be kept? I mean, why would you not? It kind of leaves you doing that what I call the dumb dog look. You know, you kind of cock your head and your ears flop, and you're like, "What?" That's kind of how I see that. That is a strange one, because there's still going to be a lot of questions that have not been answered about the LA fires. The suspicion that some of them were set, if so, by whom? You had the multiple fires, you had equipment that wasn't being taken care of, you had money that was allocated for dams that weren't built, reservoirs, you had water that was not available, you had basically recoup work and efforts that should have been done from the previous ones that were not. Again, sometimes one of those scenarios, if there's more questions and they're not being answered, it just kind of makes you wonder, okay, what is being done? You are in the leadership of an area where wildfires are a common thing, like pretty much every year, and you weren't ready. You weren't prepared, and you are responsible. So, hey, we're coming up on 9 o'clock, the 9 o'clock stretch just ahead, and we're going to take a little turn and let you know about a cool event coming up regarding the Gator Gobblers and a banquet. Are they eating the gobbler? What are they doing? What are they? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to talk to my buddies Michelle Pickett and Mark Herm about it. They are all going to be checking in with us. That's coming up after the top of the hour. That and a lot more ahead. The Bob Rose Show. I'm Greg Cassidy. It's 97.3 The Sky.